privilege of coming into your presence. We ask that you would speak to us again, that your Holy Spirit would do a new thing in us, and that we might hear from you again. Bless us as the word is proclaimed in Jesus' name. Amen. This past week, a 16-year-old returned home. He had been away without permission because he took a trip to Iraq. He was writing a report for his high school. One news report called it, his name was Faris Hassan, called it Faris Hassan's not-so-excellent adventure. Maybe it was because of the time when the taxi dumped him at the Kuwait-Iraq border alone in the middle of the desert. Maybe it is because when he was at a Baghdad food stand, he drew a crowd around him when he took out his Arabic phrase book to order food. Or maybe it was because when he took a cab in Kuwait, the cab driver nearly punched him in the face because he balked at the $100 cab fare. The 101st Airborne took him to the U.S. Embassy, and now he's home. I don't know how you react to that, but I call that unwise. In fact, I call it foolish. When soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines do their tour of duty in Iraq and are glad to get out alive and be home, when just this week 137 Iraqis and 7 soldiers were killed, not very wise for a 16-year-old. How naive to take a trip to Iraq. Unwise. Or maybe the gentleman in St. Louis who took a life flight to a nearby trauma center. Well, he was trying to feed his pet cobra when it bit him. So he was rushed to the hospital to get anti-venom serum. I don't know about you, but I react to that and say unwise and foolish. Well, how about this past year, our government, in fact, Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa introduced legislation to prohibit Medicare and Medicaid for paying for lifestyle drugs like Viagra. You see, sex offenders this past year were getting Viagra at taxpayers' expense. I don't know about you, but I consider that unwise and foolish by our government. I'm glad that Charles Grassley got that straight. Webster defines wisdom as accumulated philosophy or scientific learning, knowledge, or ability to discern. Has to do with inner qualities, good relationships, or just plain insight. That's wisdom. Or to make it even plainer, good sense. You might mistakenly hold the idea that wisdom is being smart, being a genius. Let me let you know that it's not always that. In fact, I read that Albert Einstein, the world's greatest problem solver, in school, his performance was pretty dismal. In fact, he only made it because of last-minute studying and coaching by his friends. That allowed him to pass the exams. One professor writing about Albert Einstein, who was the father of relativity, said he had no special gifts, no special talents or technical skills. So I wanted to know, what did he have? What made him Einstein? They said he had a superior ability to research, and he had a curiosity that allowed the mind to work on a task the way it should be. And he had the ability to go beyond the information given. That was Einstein's genius. As I shared in my first service, when my daughter was in college, she stayed in a dorm with a group of other ladies. In fact, they called this particular dorm the scholar dorm. I know that others probably at the college didn't like that, but to give you some background on that, the individuals in this dorm were on four-year paid scholarships. So the individuals that paid out this money wanted to make sure that they were there for what they were there for, in education. And I considered it to be a real blessing, because being with those other, there were a few men, but primarily it was ladies, really helped. You know, as one did well, the other wanted to do well. They kind of pushed each other. And I really think it helped in college. And even more so when my daughter got in medical school. In fact, I believe that it matters. And this is the title of my sermon: It Matters to Walk with the Wise. Walk with the wise. The Bible gives an example of a wise man and calls him the wisest man that ever lived. I invite you to turn, if you would, to 1 Kings, the third chapter. If you want to find Kings, it's right in between Samuel and Chronicles. I always remember it by those in my class know this, SKC. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Kings is in the center. 1 Kings, the third chapter. And I'll start reading at verse 5 while you're turning to 1 Kings chapter 3. When you get to 1 Kings chapter 3, would you say amen? Well, I see some of you have it. Thank you. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of the heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as if it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child." He was 19 at the time, so you have to always interpret what this child means when you're looking at the scriptures. "I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. Who is able to judge this great people of yours?" And the Bible says, if you're with me, say amen. I want to see if you're with me. I want you to stay with me. And the Bible says, "The speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, 'Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked. Y'all need to get this. Both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Walk with the wise. Solomon faced the challenge of being a king, and he didn't ask for a job at Qualcomm. He didn't ask to be a famous singer. He didn't ask to be a star on American Idol. He said, just give me wisdom. Give me a wise and discerning heart. Let me be able to discern people between the good and the evil. Walk with the wise. How can we find the wise? God has told us to walk with the wise. How can we find them? First of all, you can always find the wise because the wise love to grow. What did I say the wise love to do? What did I say? The wise love growth. In fact, they will cause you to grow when you walk with the wise. In fact, the richest man in all the world, Warren Buffett, speaking to the University of Washington Business School, had this to say regarding walking with the wise. He told the business school to pick out the person in your class that you admire the most and write down a list of their qualities. Then put down the one that you could stand the least. That's the person that turns you off. And the qualities that you like in that individual that you admire, make those qualities your own. The habits that you admire in others, make the behavior your own. Those that you find despicable, reprehensible, decide that you're not going to do those things. Buffett said that the problem is that most people get in their own way by installing habits that bind us like chains. Chains of habits are too light to be felt, and they are too heavy to be broken. The wise love to grow. They commit themselves to excellence. They love to learn. They want to be the very best they can be, so that they can contribute those skills to society. Wise love to grow. And they'll cause you to grow when you walk with the wise. Not only does the wise love to grow, but the wise love to glow. The wise love to glow. I'm indebted to Halloran Hill, who has made his life study on the wisdom. So I share some of his thoughts. The wise love to grow, and they love to glow. What do I mean by glow? You know, there are some people that there is something, you can't put your hand on it, but you know it. there's something that emanates from them. I mean, when they come into a room, I mean, it literally lights up. Do you know someone like that? When they enter the room, the atmosphere changes. They have a glow about them. It's something positive. There's something contagious about them. They are enthusiastic, and their energy feeds you. They glow. So the wise first are to what? Say it like you mean it. Are to what? And they are to what? Glow. They are to grow. That means you grow yourself and you cause others to grow. And you glow. There's something that emanates from you. Something that's enthusiastic. The energy just feeds you. Come in the room and people want to go, you're probably not the wise to walk with. I believe God's people ought to glow. How about you? There should be something that emanates from them. And not only does the wise grow and glow, but the wise are grounded. What did I say, everybody? The wise were what? Grounded. First, they what? Second, they do what? And now they're grounded. What do I mean by grounded? They walk in the fear or the respect of God. They have a great deal of respect for the awesomeness and the power of God. Those who are grounded, they're free of pride and arrogance, and they're down to earth. Don't you like people who are down to earth? Don't you like that? People are not putting on. You see, they don't see you know not to put on because you know the greatness is in God. Am I right? They have integrity and honesty and trustworthiness. And they have a high moral code without being self-righteous. Thank you. That's an amener. That's right. That one will apply. Without being self-righteous, they live by the golden rule. The wise grow and they what? Glow. And they're grounded. A great sense of the awesomeness of God. I could stop right there. You'd probably say that'd be all right. But I'm not going to. I got to tell you the rest of it. If there is the wise that we are to walk with, there's certainly the unwise. In fact, Solomon calls them, and I'm not going to delve into that. I think that's kind of a hard sermon. That's for another day. Solomon has a lot to say, and he calls people... Now, I'm not calling you this. I want you to know that. He calls people fools. I'll use the word foolish. I think fools is hard. I'll just say foolish. And there are two characteristics of the foolish. The unwise. That you need to keep in mind as you walk with the wise. The foolish or the unwise have an incredible unwillingness to learn. And they lack self-control. An incredible unwillingness to learn. Have you ever... There's one at every place of employment. There's one everywhere. Have you ever been around somebody that they know everything about everything about everything? Whatever you talk about, they know more about it than you. You may be the doctor, but they got the answers for you. Am I right? They know everything. I mean, there's nothing they don't know about. I would consider that foolish. I would consider that unwise. No one knows everything. Amen? And anyone who thinks they know everything is, you can know from the beginning, they are unwise. And in fact, when you see a person like that coming, you try and get away from them. Because you won't give your story. They won't let you. Because they know more about your story than you do. You're smiling, but that's true. They are the unwise and the foolish. Someone says they are an albatross. They bring weight. And they'll harm you if you stay around the unwise. So as you continue on your journey of life, keep wise people in and the foolish out. Former UN Ambassador Andrew Young had these words to say. Let me share them with you, and I believe they're true. He said, look at those they call unfortunate, and at a closer view, you'll find that many of them are unwise. Gandhi said that it is unwise to be too sure of one's own wisdom, or wise counsel, I should say. In fact, it's healthy to be reminded that the strongest might weaken and the wisest might err. How many in here have made an error once in your life? Some of you should have raised your feet also. Amen? All your limbs should have gone up. You know that's true. All of us. Solomon, God gave him wisdom and understanding and discernment like no other individual that ever reigned on this earth. But you know what happened over a long period of time? This was over a long period of time. Solomon started relying upon himself, and he sought to carry out the Lord's purposes in his own way. And he really meant well in an ecumenical spirit. He reasoned that if he could have a political and commercial alliances with the surrounding nations, that he would bring the nations into a knowledge of the true God. But this is where he went wrong. He entered into an unholy alliance by marrying. I could take a series on that alone. But this, you know, the Sabbath school lesson is talking about family, so I'll leave that alone. He thought that if he would marry and you know the story, it's well told about Solomon and his 300 wives and 700 concubines. If he would marry, that he would convert them. He thought he was strong enough to resist temptation of idolatry. He had gold and silver in abundance. The Lord blessed him mightily. But he should have given his money to the poor and the needy and deal with holy living aspects. But no, he got absorbed in ambitious projects to glorify himself. History says that he heavily taxed the people, so that the people no longer even wanted to be around Solomon. Sounds like some politicians today. As cruel and exacting he became. You remember the story where the two ladies were fighting over the baby, and Solomon had to make a decision over who would get the child? So he reached, he lifted up his sword, and he decided, I'm going to cut the baby in half. And as he drew his sword and he moved it down, one of the ladies shouted out and said, no, give the child to the other one. Solomon said, well, you are the mother. Wasn't that what a decision? Wise. That same Solomon, from saving the life of a child, got to the point where he had babies sacrificed. Can you believe it? How could someone be so wise and be unwise at the same time? The book Patriarchs, Prophets and Kings, in fact, has a lot to say about him, along with our scriptures. This was startling. Startling for you Brokeback Mountain fans. Nobly, manly character became effeminate. Help us, Lord. If it could happen to Solomon, Lord, help us to walk with the wise. How could a man with 300 wives become effeminate? I know that's kind of hard. Your kids may ask you what that is. And so when he writes in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Walk with the wise. Walk with those who want to learn, grow. Walk with those who glow. They have a positive enthusiasm for life that emanates from them. Walk with those who are grounded. They have the fear and an awesome respect for God. You say, ah, okay, I hear you. But be more specific. Who are the wise? Most of the time, I believe the wise are our parents, our family, our friends, our teachers, our church members. There are a lot of people that could fall in the category of the wise. Luke chapter 2, I want you to read this as we close. Luke chapter 2, the scripture that was read so well by Evan. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. And I'll read at 39 while you're turning there. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became weak. Oh, I'm just checking you out. See if you're still awake. Became strong in spirit, filled with what, everybody? Wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. Now, we tell it at the Christmas time about the wise men. I find it startling that the wise men made their first encounter with the wise baby Jesus. You know something? You're talking about walking with the wise. You really can't walk with the wise until you walk with Jesus. First of all, you need to walk with Jesus. He is the wise. He is the one that teaches us and helps us. I'd like to conclude with a story. Because today, what a challenge to know how to walk with the wise. Because today, the wise looks foolish. And the foolish look wise. I mean, it's all mixed up today. How are you to determine when the wise looks foolish and the foolish looks wise? To some people, to go to church on Saturday looks foolish. You know how it is. You tell your friends, I'm going to church and it's Saturday. You know how they look at you. They look at you as if something is wrong with you. How do you live in a world where when you tell people you believe that Jesus is everything, that he is the Son of the living God, you tell people that and they look at you as if something's wrong with you? Well, the wise looks foolish and the foolish look wise. There's a story told by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. Dr. Maltz is a plastic surgeon. He tells a story of a man who had been injured in a fire while attempting to save his parents. He wasn't successful, and they perished. Attempting to rescue his family, his face was burned and disfigured. He mistakenly interpreted this as God's punishment. And so he wouldn't let anybody see him, even his wife. Of course, the wife was not happy about this. The husband repeatedly refused help. So she went in to see Dr. Maltz. And she says, I want you to help my husband. But he won't let me see him and he won't let anybody help him. Dr. Maltz asks, well, I'll be glad to help him and I believe I can help him if you'll just have him come in to see me. But he wouldn't come in. In fact, he would not even let his wife see him. So he said, well, what else can I do for you? She says, Dr. Maltz, I want you to disfigure my face like his. He never heard of such a thing. He said, let me go in and talk to your husband. She let him in the house. He went in. He was behind closed doors. He wouldn't let no one in. He knocked on the door. Of course, he asked, who was it? He told who he was. And then he said, because he wouldn't open the door, your wife loves you. In fact, she came to me so that she could have her face disfigured like yours. He slowly turned the door and opened the door. The way that wife felt for her husband. You know, God loves you even more. That he was willing. He took our face, disfigured by thousands of years of sin. You see, when Jesus came to this world, we weren't looking like Adam and Eve. He took our face. He was willing to be scarred for you and me. He was willing to be disfigured. He became like one of us. He loves you just that much. So will you walk with the wise? It's none other than Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, but Solomon blew it. It wasn't Solomon. It was Jesus all along. I'm not putting my trust in man. I'm going for God. How about you? Oh, how we need to follow Him more than ever before. Let's walk with the wise. Let's pray. Almighty God, yes, You. We talk about the wise men from the East. You talk about Solomon and all his wisdom. But Lord, You gave them that wisdom. You have the wisdom from the ages. There's no one like You. And You were willing to come to this earth to die for us. Oh God, we can never repay You. Nor can we even begin to comprehend such love. With that in mind, as we walk with You, we are in good hands. We thank You. We praise Your name for who You are. Now, Lord, get us to walking with the wise, that we might grow and glow and be grounded and recognize that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Until this end, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.